Om Ajnanati Madanasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Recommended not only for the successful execution of the devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruit of workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the world. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy name of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and we should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshiper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with a hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name of the Lord, holy name and the Lord are of the same, since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the Lord. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconception. Nanyan vidyamana namichakta akatopayam yoginam dhritanirnitam harayanam kirtanam. Translation again. Okay, constant chanting the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is a doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So this verse gives us full concentration and full authority to carry out our mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deputized everybody in the whole world and said that I'm bringing the medicine, NHA Ashodi Mai, Nashi Parola, Harinam Mahamantra, Lahal Tumima. You should desire this, you should beg for it, because I brought the medicine. And then he said, I order every person in this universe to take this up and distribute it to other people. Now, there are so many products and ideas and philosophies in the world, and that's mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada mentions this in the purport. There are many different options. But the scriptures help us, and Lord Chaitanya helps us, by giving us one point of focus on what our mission is, what our duty is. For instance, in the scriptures, Rupa Goswami writes in his Namashtam, Bikila Shuti Mali Ratnamala Duti Virati Tapapa Pankacham. I Mukta Kalera Pasimana Harinama Shamshrayana. That if you look at all the scriptures, if you know what to look for, if you know the purpose, like Krishna says in the Gita, Yavam Artha Udupani, Sapata Samputurike, if you understand what the purpose is behind the Vedas and you look in that way, that in all the scriptures, Nikila Shuti, Mali Ratnamala Duti Niratnamala, crown jewel of all the shastras, all the scriptures, the Upanishads, are worshipping the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name. So it comes to this conclusion that all the scriptures, they're all meant, they all conclude in this glorification of the holy name of the Lord. And very specifically in our Sampradaya, coming down to us through Krishna himself, through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through our line of acharyas, is this direction of focus on the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's the verse we know, the Maha Mantra, because it's been passed down to us and emphasized. And here it's emphasized, Hayupit Kalyan Pasimana, the liberated souls chant this mantra. That's what they do. That's the state of liberation. One can attain the state of liberation by that, and that's what all the great authorities do. And that's mentioned in this verse also. That by following the great authorities, Namana Kirtana means to follow the footsteps of these great authorities, then one is assured of success. Akutobaya, without fear, and absolutely, certainly without fear, one will attain complete success. And it is absolutely necessary for people to get this, what I mentioned as before, medicine. In the Sri Upanishad, Kurva Neviha Karmani Jijivishek Shatam Samaha Evam Tvainanya Etos Dina Karma Lipitainare. A Karma Lipitainare, there's no other way than this for man. Means there's no other alternative. It comes to this point. Therefore, the devotees who understand this have a feeling of urgency to deliver this medicine to people in general. Prabhupada defines violence as stopping the preaching of the holy name of the Lord and of Krishna consciousness, or slowing it down for any reason. This is violence. And those who are experiencing the potency of the holy name for themselves, as Prabhupada mentions near the end of this purport, will be fully aware that of its transformative nature and of its necessity that people must get it. Because along with chanting the holy name of the Lord come knowledge and detachment from the world. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayarahayitam. By serving Krishna directly, one gets knowledge and detachment from the world. So those who are engaged in this chanting process, which is the culmination of all the scriptures, and which is provides direct association for Krishna, get this knowledge and detachment from the world. They're able to see what to do, what is the correct thing to do, and because they have detachment, they're able to do it. If you have knowledge but you don't have detachment, then you can think about it, but you can't do it. If you have detachment, you don't have knowledge, you don't know what to do. So both these things, full facility that is, come to those who chant the holy name of the Lord, full facility of knowledge. And not only that, Prabhupada says in a very interesting way in the second canto of the Bhagavatam that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one synchronizes all the energies of the Lord simultaneously. Similar to the verse Nama Pari Bhagudha Nijasarva Shaktis. All of the Lord's Shakti is there within the holy name. Everything is provided for those who engage wholeheartedly in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, and this makes the movement very potent, as Abhiram Prabhu likes to say, tip of the spear. That's his battle cry. This is the tip of the spear. This process of chanting the holy name of the Lord and delivering it to others, obviously implied in the metaphor of a spear, is that it's being delivered. Otherwise, what's the point of a spear? And Prabhupada mentions in his one letter he wrote to Hridayananda Maharaj about how writing his books was a way to inject Krishna consciousness into human society. So when I think of the spear, there's a way that there's a small end and then opens up to a larger part. And this Krishna consciousness movement is focused on this delivery of Krishna consciousness to people all over the world. And it comes in many forms, but especially in this verse is mentioned that one should do it loudly. The Prabhupada mentions in the purport one should do it loudly. So what does loud mean? What is a loud kirtan? You can get louder drums, which is, and you can get amplification. How much amplification can one get? I mean, it's actually necessary because the souls sleeping in this world need to hear this. And therefore, we hear it in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan, Udila Aruna Purava Bhagi, Dvijamani Gora Amani Jagi, Tatai Tatai Bhajaloko. There's this poetry about the Lord going out into the towns and villages, even as people are waking up, and singing as loud as they can so people can hear. And just by the hearing of the holy name, by coming in contact, they awaken. How is that possible? It's the potency of the holy name that even if you're not aware that the benefit is coming from the holy name, the benefit will be there nonetheless. The Shastras say this. Again, go back to Rupa Goswami. Jayanama deham vrindagehe janaranjanaya paramaksharapite tvamanadarad ki manahudiritam nikilograta patalim padumpasi. He says that this chanting of the holy name creates a festival. Anywhere you chant the holy name, it's so exotic. People don't know what it is, but it drives you crazy. They start dancing around, and it's the most opulent thing that you can hear in this world. Everything else becomes dry and insignificant when the holy name enters into the world. It's a festival, an instant festival, when people hear the names of Krishna. And then he goes on to say that Rupa Goswami says, even if one chants the holy name of the Lord disrespectfully, without knowing what it is, still, tomanara ki manabudi, nikilogra tapapa patalim. He says, ugratapa, all of one's horrible stock of sins, which are stored from being entangled in the material world and doing abominable things, it becomes destroyed by this chanting of Hare Krishna. Then he goes on to say that Yadabaso Pyudyam Kabanita Pava Dvantamibolo Vrisham Tatrandanam Abhidishiti Pankti Pranayam, that even one who is in the darkest of ignorance, sleeping, with no idea whatsoever of bhakti, hears the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he or she will get an inkling for bhakti. It's amazing. So this is the perfect medicine. And now there's the question of what is the delivery system? What does it mean to do it loudly? How to get the medicine out to more and more people? It's already established now, by now, especially in this audience, that this is the authorized medicine, right? Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
We could debate it. No. All right, so we'll just take the... Then it comes down to what is the delivery system? How to deliver it to the most people possible in the world. So there's various ways of doing that, and that is the preoccupation of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. How to deliver it. First, how to deliver it to oneself. Now that's why the 10 offenses are given here. There's instruction throughout the scripture about how to take this medicine. First, you take it yourself. My friend Satyadeva Guru was a paramedic for 20 years. When he went to paramedic school, the first day they said, a dead paramedic can't save anyone. Therefore, your first duty is to save yourself. When you go to a scene of an accident, make sure you don't get poisoned, burned, blown up, or shot. And similarly, the first duty of those who are deputized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the Krishna consciousness movement is to make sure that they fortify themselves against Maya. Once somebody said to Prabhupada that Maya is so strong, Prabhupada said, Maya is not so strong, your intention is weak. And he said, if you take care of your health very carefully, fastidiously, good diet, enough rest, a good attitude in life, clean, then you won't fall sick. Similarly, if you take care of yourself spiritually, especially by chanting the holy name of the Lord and at the same time, intentionally and very carefully avoiding the 10 offenses against the holy name of the Lord, then one becomes fortified against Maya, and then one can, without incident, go out into the world or throughout one's community or household and effectively spread the holy name of the Lord. What's the first thing that's important?
Not to lose.
Take the medicine yourself. Right? So now, delivery systems. One of the ways in which our Krishna Conscious Movement is famous, in fact, what is most unique about our Krishna Consciousness Movement is the literature. Nobody else has the books we have. There are people that have better buildings than we do, by far. And they have better organization and so forth in some ways. What else do they have that's better?
Economy.
Money.
More money? Some people have a lot more money. What else?
Marketing.
Congregation.
Bigger congregations. Sometimes people have millions and millions of congregation members. But they don't have the books. These books are very special in the world. They're unique. They're authorized, and they have the imprint of the pure devotee of the Lord, who has written them in a state of empowerment, specifically to help people all over the world become Krishna conscious. So our books are very, very special. And we also have the pure chanting of the holy name, this conception that not only we chant the holy name, but it must be pure. Without asking anything for the Lord, simply out of service. That's rare in this world. So, the delivery system of the holy name is meant to be taken to as many places as possible. Every town and village, the chanting of the holy name should be done. How should it be done? It should be done in a way that people can hear it, but also that they can appreciate it. There is a great case for a gyata sukriti. It means that even if somebody hears the holy name, even if they don't like you, they're going to get some benefit because the holy name of the Lord is so powerful. But there's another principle, and that is if they hear the holy name and they actually like you, and they like what you're doing and how you're doing it, it goes in much deeper. Because when we make a presentation that opens people's minds and hearts, they're wide open to drink in as much of the medicine as possible. So when we go out to deliver the holy name of the Lord, we also have to be thoughtful. How is it that people will most appreciate the delivery of the holy name? Of course, everyone who's been in public to preach Krishna consciousness knows that not everybody appreciates, no matter what you do. So I'm not talking about those kinds of people necessarily, but when Prabhupada speaks about realization, he says that one must understand what he or she is reading and studying and practicing to the degree that he or she can also present it in an interesting manner, so that the audience can appreciate it. That's realization, Prabhupada says. It must be presented in such a way that it's palatable to the other people. So, although we have the ultimate medicine, it's not that we should just throw it at people full force and depend on a gyata sukriti, but we should also package it in such a way that they will take it in to the full extent. That means what? Enchanting the holy name of the Lord. Going out, for instance, to do Harinam Sankirtan. Now the microphone can be ready. What does it mean to be thoughtful when presenting the chanting of the holy name, for instance, in public? Name three things that you would consider to be thoughtful or realized in the presentation of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Realized in the sense that you're making it palatable, or you're making it appealing to the people, besides just the chanting itself and depending on the raw power of the holy name. What else is it that's thoughtful? Anuthmukuru.
Don't block the sidewalks or the store doors to the...
You can use the microphone because it's on the internet.
Don't block the sidewalks or storeways, metro entrances, staircases, things like that.
That's kind of thoughtful. Being aware of space and that people are moving around and not considering that they're in Maya, they're going to work, therefore it doesn't matter what the flow of traffic is or how they feel about where we're standing and so forth. Yeah, that's thoughtful.
Just one thing or two things?
As you like, Raj, you always get three, so you can have three.
Well, you asked for
three for one.
He just did one, so we just read yesterday morning dressing up. Dressing so in clean and neat and presentable. And Prabhupada, before a dress, you dress, you present yourself appearance wise in a respectable fashion. I'd like to add another little point, that is, this vow. Jiva Goswami is the one who was being quoted at the airport about loud, and because at that time it was an issue about not out loud, it's a Harinam Chintami, and it's the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Harinas Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, as opposed to silent, aloud. But sometimes the volume of kirtan can be oppressive for the people. So something that you sense their sensibility of what's appropriate. Not just, Jiva Goswami said loud, so crank up the volume.
Yeah, nice point. So one thing about dressing is that people do take a look. You say it doesn't matter, but people do take a look. That's the nature of the school. We even take a look.
When somebody walks in,
what's that? Judge a book by its cover. Yeah, someone may say, don't judge a book by its cover, or that's the materialism, but people do take a look. And in business circles, the common wisdom is dress for success. And they say, oh, that's old hat. No, it's not. When you come in and you know how to dress for the occasion, then people take notice of it. They know right away. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed his dress. He didn't have to. He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because he is the Acharya of spreading Krishna consciousness, he showed us how to adjust the message so that when people saw him, they would offer respect. That's why he changed his dress. He didn't need to take sannyas. And everyone told him that. Why are you taking sannyas? You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others objected to it. Nityananda broke his nut and said, you don't need this thing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it specifically to open people up to the message of Krishna consciousness. There's a Christian preacher who's located in, I believe he's in Atlanta, Georgia. His name's Andy Stanley. And he says that people notice your environment. The message that comes from your environment is much louder than the message you speak from the pulpit. In other words, you can say all kinds of things, but people take a look around for themselves and say, okay, say one thing, but something else is really going on here. And similarly, the way we present ourselves is very important. So we can take a look at that. And the second thing you said, Maharaj, was about the volume. Yeah. You have one more point?
The stores I own, so the corporate people did some survey. There are 4,800 or 5,800 UPS store across the United States and Canada. And they found out the stores, they are kept up clean. Their employees wear nice dress, they have a name tag, the carpets are clean, displays are, you know, meticulously kept up. Those stores have a better sense than the stores they are kept. So that's just a UPS spent some thousands of dollars or $1 million. Find out what you are just trying to say, that you know, our appearance and behavior and so forth.
Thank you. We can take that to the bank. We've experimented our temple. By the way, my name is Vaisheshika Das. Nice to meet you all. I live out in California, and ISKCON Silicon Valley, also known as ISV, stands for ISKCON Silicon Valley, also stands for Individual, Spontaneous, and Voluntary. And we've been experimenting, tinkering with the way we deliver our Harinam Sankirtan. So some of the things that we've done are consider that it's considered the presentation. So we've done several ways. I mean, in the beginning we just came out and we stood in a group and we chanted the holy name. Then we experimented with how we stood. Was it facing the crowd or was it in a circle facing each other? Then we started experimenting with some of us sitting on a carpet and others standing and chanting. Then we experimented, and of course all the time when we go out for the chanting the holy name, we also bring a book table with us. And interestingly, we can sometimes tell, there are things we can measure. Some things are how many people come and take a look at the Harinam party and also stay. And how many buy books and interact with the devotees who are at the book table. Then we started putting up lights. For instance, in the evening kirtans that we have, sometimes Saturdays and Friday nights, when it starts to get dark, we started putting up a light system. So there's floodlights on the devotees. That helped. Every incremental improvement we made to the appearance, we noticed a result where people would stay longer and they'd participate more. Then we put some extra lights in it. They shoot little images on the ground. There's hearts, and then it changes to musical notes. And then we started putting up booths. We have a booth for the book table with signs on it, and then we put up a booth for people they can come and get face painting. And there's a booth where they can come and learn about meditation and so forth. And then then we put up some trees. We brought our own cherry trees. They're made out of silk, and they're beautiful. And we set them up, and then we brought our gorni tidings out. Not the ones from the altar. These are special gorni tidings that come. It's all the Harinams. So then we started noticing that people didn't want to leave. They're looking for some action where we chant down at Palo Alto. It's an upscale place near Stanford University. A lot of restaurants and bars and things like that that people go to on Friday, Saturday night. But when we reach a certain threshold of making the presentation of the holy name so nice that and so attractive that people would rather stay there than go down to the rest of the place. Because they're looking for the lights. The little jiva's looking for some kind of shiny objects here in the material world, looking around from place to place. And if you make your presentation of the Harinam party beautiful and shiny and even try to think, what are people looking for? What kind of atmosphere do they want? And you create that around the holy name. Yes, the main thing that's important is the holy name that's chanted defenselessly from the heart by pure devotees. That's important. And the tall is important also. How you're playing the music so that it's attractive and catches people's attention. Rhythm is a universal language. If you have nice rhythm, people will stop and listen. But also, if you take some time and think, how's the presentation? How do we look? Then you actually, using the thoughtfulness principle, open people's minds and hearts to want to stay. They want to hang around. They want to find out more about you. That's what we want, right? We don't want to just inject them with a little gap of secreta and have them go away. We want to open up our net so when they come in, they get the medicine and they also come along with the Harinam party. So we noticed in our recent experiments, people coming, staying, and hanging out all night. And we also noticed by this configuration of some sitting in the front using, aligned nicely like musicians, and then the whole group behind them dancing, the two things together. People come, they watch, and then they'll want to come and dance. We also have people in the dancing party that are specifically there to see that some of the people in the audience are starting to dance anyway like this, to listen to the Harinam. Either they're just fooling feel some devotion, they start dancing. Those people go out, they gently invite them to come back with the dancing party. And they do. Because it's set up, it's thought of it ahead of time. These things are all part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's strategy. He thought ahead of time about who was going to dance in the party. He would appoint people, said, Vaikuntacharya, Harinath Thakur, you're dancing. And then he would, Mukunda, you're going to sing. He put the singers, he put the dancers. Why did he do all that if just the holy name is enough? Because the presentation is important. How it sounds and how it looks to everybody is important. The two things must be there. The delivery system is vital. Prabhupada mentions in the pastime of Prakashananda Saraswati that people are already inimical towards Krishna consciousness. He says, don't make them more inimical. Go out of your way to make sure that they feel comfortable around you so that they can enter in. It's that friendly atmosphere. And it's not just how we look, it's the mood of the devotees. It's the compassion in their hearts, feeling for people, and wanting to engage them in a way that's appropriate so they can take to Krishna consciousness. How's everybody so far? You all right? Okay. Now let's just talk a little bit about the delivery system that Prabhupada focused on from the time he came, before he came to America, and then when he landed, besides the chanting of the name, and that is literature. Humans have been writing things down since they've been on the planet. There's evidence of that in many museums around the world. Before there was paper, it's a fairly recent invention, paper. People used to write on shelves, they write on the walls, they write on any surface they possibly could, because that's what humans like to do. They put their ideas on paper. Why? Because it's a delivery system. They want their ideas to go out to people. And with the invention of books, actually, it's not that they've been invented. It's just that there was a necessity at a certain time to write everything down. We know that Vyasadeva. Understanding that we'd be a little distracted in this age, mostly by cell phones. And also, diminishment of memory. He said, let's get everything written down. The way of writing things, even up to the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and beyond that, was just by hand. People would write for instance, in India, on palm leaves. There was a stylus, and you press the stylus on the palm leaf, and it makes an impression, and then you have to put it in the sun. And then the areas that were impressed by the stylus change color, and then you get this impression. And all the scriptures, for instance, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered the Sri Brahmasamhita, the Adikeshwara temple in South India, he brought it out with the permission of the temple commander and had it copied, which is a big deal. If you ever look at these scriptures, I have one original scripture in my house written on palm leaf. Meticulous handwriting. Nowadays people don't care anymore. They didn't even know how to write. But back then there were scribes and they would write. And sometimes, they would tell me at the archives in Calcutta, sometimes in the history, these scribes, they'd be writing it. It's such a tedious job. They write the same line twice and then they have to throw it away and start over again. So difficult to write books. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu labored to have those copied many times because he gave them out to all his disciples, all his followers. The Sri Brahmasamhita, the Sri Krishna Karnavrita were copied like that. It was important to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to pass around these scriptures. And the book itself became more and more prevalent in the world, especially with the printing press. The first movable press, movable type press, came through Gutenberg, who invented a press specifically so he could get the Bible out to more people. And there was a whole controversy about whether people should have the Bible or not. Of course, Protestants and Catholics, some said only the priests should have books. Protestants were more like Protestants in that, that get it out to the masses.
not just restricted. But in any case, he came out with a press that could print books, and then it was refined and refined, and there were printing presses then that could put out numbers of books at any given time. Consider the importance of a book. It can change the world, one book. Some examples. Wealth of Nations, book about economic theory. Still today, there are whole ideologies. People in America, for instance, accept capitalism as good. We wouldn't want anything else. Everything else is bad. Where'd that come from? It came from a person. And the person wrote his ideas down in a book. And the books were then distributed, and people read them. Now it's an established fact in the minds of people all over the world that the system is good. How about Charles Darwin? What is his book?
Origin
of Species. Do you have that book in your library? Practically nobody does, but everyone believes in evolution. They believe in evolution because Darwin wrote it down in a book. And that book was distributed to many, many people. They read it. Books have weight and potency. Writing things down is powerful. Another historical event, the American Revolution. Thomas Paine, he wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense, and he sold it to most of the people in the colonies. And because of that, the historians say, revolution ensued. From the written word, Thomas Jefferson encouraged him. He said, go on doing with your pen what others have done with the sword. You're doing it much more effectively, he said. This strategy of distributing literature is age old, and it is very powerful, and therefore Prophet emphasized it as the loudest way to distribute the Holy Name. It is the spoken kirtan, he said. I am speaking, it's being written down, and when that's delivered, consider that every book is a container. What does it contain? It contains ideas. One idea that goes into the human mind will take root in one form or another, and then it'll bear fruit. And therefore, when sometimes people ask, what is the effect of distributing so many books? Well, Prabhupada was very certain about it. He never wavered. He never considered, for instance, what is the immediate result. He was more of a gardener. He knew the potency of the Srimad Bhagavatam, for instance. It's already said, it's full of the power of the Holy Name. The names are written in the book. And it goes further, it penetrates. It goes into the White House. Prabhupada noticed that when someone told him, we sold books to the son and daughter of the president, said, just see how powerful the book is. It's gone into the White House. But we couldn't go into the White House with our Harinam party. They wouldn't let us in, but the book snuck right through the front door. Similarly, it snuck into Russia, packaged in aluminum foil, five at a time, smuggled into the engine blocks of cars, into the oppressive environment of Russia, and it broke it down. The devotees risked their lives to distribute books in that country. They couldn't go on public Harinam, but the books made their way around from one person to the next. One book can bring down a nation. One book can do that. Because it's so powerful, the ideas contained within it. And when it contains the holy names and the mantras and the expressions of the pure devotee of the Lord, and that's written down, those ideas will spread all over the world. Therefore, Prabhupada said that this word for kirtan also means broadcast. It also means prachar, spoken kirtan. And when it becomes broadcast, which is a term that comes from farming, you throw seeds. That's what broadcast means. You're broadcasting. You're throwing in many different directions seeds. Prabhupada understood, and he said on the Jaladuta, on the way to America, that I have full faith in the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's when he brought it in. They didn't know what he was bringing in. They asked him at customs, "You got 200 sets of books. What do you intend to do with those?" I said, "Oh, they're just gifts." They're just gifts. They let 200 sets of Bhagavatams into the country. Big mistake. And he went on from there. When he came to America with no facility, he had a dilapidated typewriter, a recorder, and a few books, and they were stolen from his room right after he got to America. So he went out and he chanted in the park, and he kept chanting, and then he was giving public class. And then Garga Muni gave him a dictaphone. And then Garga Muni found two mimeograph machines. You young people have no idea what a mimeograph machine is, do you? It's an old-fashioned copy machine. Before there was internet, before there was computers, before there were cell phones, now you can gasp. It was a stenciling machine, basically. And Prabhupada had started the Bhaktivedanta magazine in 1944, getting his way to America. He had suspended the printing of the Bhaktivedanta magazine, but as soon as he got here, as soon as he had some facility, he started telling his followers, start printing the Bhaktivedanta magazine. And there's a beautiful description in the Lilamrita. I've got the Satsarupa, such a great writer, beautiful passage about the first publication of the Bhaktivedanta magazine. The scene is set. He's talking about the devotees. Somebody had just made some benches, and they had mimeographed 100 copies of their first Bhaktivedanta magazine, mimeographed. And they laid them out on these benches because they had to collate them by hand. And then someone from their office had brought a staple, borrowed it. It was made with borrowed staples. That's how you start a movement from the ground up. You got to start somewhere. You borrow a stapler from your office and you bring it in. And my God, you staple those things together and take them out. 100 copies, that's how it started. Prabhupada came down to see the assembling of it, and the devotees offered obeisance and said, no, keep working. He knew the power of the written word. It was going into those Bhaktivedanta magazines. And he didn't care that they didn't look good at first, because he did whatever he could. He knew that the delivery was so powerful. It's Harinam written down, and it can go anywhere. You can't stop it. That's why it's so compelling and exciting. So the BTG went out onto the streets, and people began to read it. And Prabhupada was investigating all different ways to make more publications. Meanwhile, he was writing all the time. Now, speaking into his dictaphone, those little tapes were sent off to others to type it onto pages, and then it would be edited. Pradyumna was a Sanskrit editor, and there was a few other editors for English clarity and checking for any kind of errors in the transcription and so forth, and then those started coming into Prabhupada's celebrated books. And if you look at the histories, you read the letters from the early days of Krishna consciousness, you'll find hundreds of letters, one after the other, of the angst Prabhupada is feeling for getting his books printed and distributed. At first, after the mimeograph machine, there was a local printer in New York that started doing the Bhaktivedanta magazine. And in all of ISKCON, the devotees were distributing a total of 500 Bhaktivedanta magazines per month. And then Prabhupada came to know from Ray Ram of a printer in Japan named Dainipan. And Dainipan was on Prabhupada's radar. He wanted to have a much better publication, and he knew they could do it. So he personally went there to meet the people at Dainipan. By the way, they saw Prabhupada as a great world religious leader. They treated him like he was a pope. They'd bring their best limousines. And they had an attaché that took him everywhere and made sure every need was taken care of. The person almost became a devotee. He liked Prabhupada so much. Prabhupada had a beautiful relationship with the Dainipan printers who are still there in Japan today. But they're a big printer, and they said, if you want Bhaktivedanta magazine printed here, we need a minimum of 20,000 copies per month. So now you can see in the history, Prabhupada then started asking all the devotees, you each give $750 every temple shipment. Whether you distribute the magazines or not, you should each take some magazines, 5,000 magazines each temple, $750 a month, which is a huge amount. Devotees were practically starving at that time, trying to keep the doors open to their temple. And then Prabhupada saw the opportunity going from 500 Bhakti-guided magazines to 20,000. And he started asking some of the devotees about it. Tamal Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada, let's do it. Prabhupada reminisces later, 1977. You can see he's talking to some devotees and he's reminiscing about that time. He's laughing. He's saying, we went from 500 to 20,000 in 1 month. Anxiety. Devotees were anxiety. Then Prabhupada had the TLC that was printed at Daini Farm. And because they were taking some time to print the TLC, Prabhupada started to think, we need our own press. We need a press machine. We're going to do it ourselves. Because he wanted to have the whole operation located at home in New York or wherever. So we didn't own any property in ISKCON. Am I going too fast? No. We didn't own any property in ISKCON. I got till 9, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Prabhupada said that the first devotees to buy a building will host the first ISKCON press. Who bought the first building?
Boston.
Thank you. Boston, Beacon Street. And before Prabhupada even bought the press, he sent four devotees off to apprentice around New York City and learn bookbinding, book printing, how to do photo finishing, everything that you need to put a book together. It's a whole science how to print books. Prabhupada was so eager to have his own book printing business that he took four devotees and put them full time in apprenticeships in New York. They went from one printing company to another so that they could learn the full gamut of printing skills. And so when Prabhupada bought the first press, it came to Boston. The press was so heavy that Narayan had to come, and he was a builder, and put a joist so that the floor would not cave in because the press was so heavy on the floor. And then Prabhupada invited all the trained press devotees to come, artists, whoever were fledgling artists. He gathered the energy there in Boston around the press. And then he came to visit the press. And he walked into the press room. Comes from eyewitness accounts, especially from Balai Devi Dasi, whose husband was in charge of the press. She lives in Los Angeles. And she said, Prabhupada came first to the press room. And he walked in and he offered his pranams and he said the Premadwani prayers to the spiritual master. Jayam Krishna Padma Sapri Raja Kajaja Shlokar Shishimar Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Gosai Maharaj Kijat. Same method as the spiritual master who established the press as the first line of attack. He even put it inside the temple, in their flagship temple, Bhakt Bazar. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established the press along with the deities. And if you notice, on his logo for the Gaudiya Math, he puts the printing press. And above it, the words Ragmarg. So this is our tradition coming down. So from there, the press, then the Bhagavad Gita, abridged edition came out. That's a whole long story about how Garga Muni got the Bhagavad Gita printed. And then the sea change that took place in ISKCON was when the Krishna book came out. It was the first time in history anybody had seen God. Because Prabhupada knew what God looked like and he said, paint God. And all the artists said, we don't know how to paint. What to speak of paint God? And Prabhupada said, you go before the canvas and you pray. They wanted to go to art school. Prabhupada said, forget art school. You depend on Krishna. And he told them how to paint. They kept coming to Prabhupada with questions. Jadurani came and asked Prabhupada, how does Krishna wear his dhoti? Prabhupada, bring me a dhoti. Prabhupada tied the dhoti and said, there, she sketched it. That's how we know what Krishna's dhoti looks like. Prabhupada told us. They came to Prabhupada, they said, what does Varuna look like? He's the demigod of the water. Is his body made of water? Prabhupada looked like this. They came to personified Vedas. They said, are they books with arms, Prabhupada? They had no idea. Who would have any idea? And it's not that Prabhupada went off and researched it. He just told them what it was. That's our acharya. And that's our books. They're in the paintings. His writings are in the books. It's all written down. It's his heart. That's why our movement is the most unique. Because we have the pure chanting of the holy name as our ethic and as our main means for advance. And we have the literatures, which are unsurpassed in the entire universe. These books, it's the Bhagavatam that counts. So, there is a tradition that comes down through the Gaudiya Acharyas. They all leave the literatures, and they all leave the pure holy name of the Lord. And it is these two things that we are left to manage as a family business. Our family business is how to administer these things to ourselves, to organize our lives around the principle Tandana Rupa Charitari Sukirtananam Smithyo Kramena Rasanaman Sandhiyo Tishtandra Jaitananam Ravi Janana Gami Kalam Nayatra Kilamit Yupadesha Sama. The essence of all advice is that 24 hours a day, one should go on hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how life should be organized. And then delivering it to as many people as possible in an appealing way through chanting the holy name and distributing as many books as possible. And from that tip of the sphere, thank you, Abhi Ramaguru, from that tip of the sphere, all other programs develop in a balanced way, depending on the books. Prabhupada said, and the holy name, Prabhupada said that to Rameshwar, that if you simply concentrate on this one thing, all our advancement has come from this kind of concentration, just on this delivery to ourselves and to as many people as possible. Now we'll take some reflections. Anything that you heard that's stuck in your mind that you're taking away from here? And the red microphone is ready to go. Yes?
I want to express one concern.
Yes, you'd like to express a concern.
One concern could be related with the way that you start the class,
yeah,
like with a long recitation of mantras, and could be related with book distribution too, and having. So here's my concern. According to this administration that we have here, we have green light to do certain changes in the program, right? In our learning programs. Could sound like a small situation. But I'm concerned about the mentality.
What's that?
About the mentality.
The mentality of...
Yes. The situation is, for example, to change the recitation of the offenses, for example, and the recitation of the Gurbani, to take out those parts of the program. But my concern is this. Today, we start changing this point, right? Cutting off these parts of the program. Tomorrow could be a section of the scriptures, right? So the mentality, I'm concerned about the mentality. Tomorrow, we have to be the leaders. We have to take your position. And if we keep this mentality going, right, we can make like radical changes in Islam. So the point of the question is, what we have to consider before change or make such a change in so critical things about this? So who can make those changes?
There are principles and there are details. And a devotee, I'm trying to remember who it was, asked Prabhupada, how do we know the difference between the detail and the principle? The Prabhupada says you must be very intelligent. Intelligence is born from sincerity and also having a clear idea of the goal. What is the goal of Krishna consciousness movement? Prabhupada said when he was asked about succession, who can be guru? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said everyone should be guru. And Prabhupada said, when he was asked specifically, well, who will become guru after you leave Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, one who understands the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can become guru. One who understands the mission of his spiritual master, he can become guru. That requires sincerity and an understanding of what is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. There are times at which Prabhupada, for instance, in Bombay, stopped the Harinam party. Devotees were accustomed to going out on Harinam. They came to India and they began chanting in the streets, like they usually did. People were giving them rupees. Prabhupada heard about it and said, stop the Harinam party. And he introduced another program called Life Membership. And the reason he stopped it is because in India, when one is chanting, so-called sadhus would go out in the street and chant or give mantras, and people would give them money, and that's how they make their livelihood. And Prabhupada knew that. And therefore, he didn't want any misconception that the Westerners were there as some kind of pseudo-spiritualist or beggar. And therefore, he stopped the Harinam. And he did it some other way. How did he know to do that? Because he was intelligent. And because the reason was because he was fully aware of what the goal is and how to deliver it. This goes into the subject of Niyamagraha, because one may do something just for the sake of doing it. You may have a morning program where people are reciting many different mantras because they were supposed to. Everyone's always done it like that. Is that true? Do you know that as a fact, that this is exactly how everything has always been done? Or is it a cat in the basket? Many religious systems have cats in the basket.
What's the word?
What is a cat in the basket? One day, a priest was performing a ceremony, and he was training up his students how to do the ceremony for a wedding. Window was broken, cat kept jumping through the window, playing with all the stuff. Priest put the cat out, come back in. Finally, he took the cat, put him in a basket, pet him, and made him go to sleep. Then he performed the ceremony. After the departure of the revered leader and head priest, his students were then entrusted with setting up the program and doing a ritual ceremony. And near the time of the ceremony's start, one of them said, wait, hold it, we can't start unless we have a cat in the basket. And from that day forward, and generations after that, every ceremony had a cat in the basket, because it was inherited in a certain way. Devotees, when there was first trapped in Sankirtan, who lived in the temple, thought it was a heresy. They thought that devotees on traveling Sankirtan had violated the entire principle of Krishna consciousness. I have this, there are living devotees who this happened to. One was Bhutapa Das, temple president in San Francisco, who was there, and also Keshava Das, who recently passed away. Both of them told me this story. Traveling Sankirtan started just after the, well, it started with the BTG distribution, especially in San Francisco. Keshava was an innovator. He bought a bus, and he sent the devotees out and said, go out and get everyone to take the BTG door to door. And then the Krishna book came out. They did the same thing, and other devotees started doing it too. Bhaktadas was a great innovator in traveling Sankirtan. He got a bus going. There were others. But when it first started, the devotees were accustomed to living in the temple and doing things in a certain way. Especially, the issue was prasadam. Could you get prasadam outside the temple? Or was it only available from the altar, from the deities? So, huge controversy ensued. Devotees were out traveling. They weren't living in a temple. They were distributing books. And Prabhupada was the only arbitrator for this. So they drove all the way to Los Angeles to settle this dispute, to into his room and they told Prabhupada what was going on. And Prabhupada said, you're going on Sankirtan, you're in the fire of this Sankirtan movement. He said, you take whatever bhoga, you can offer it, and take whatever you want and you go on preaching. And then the controversy was solved. Now how do we imbibe that ourselves? That's the big question. Who has the authority now to adjust the details or understand what is the principle? Those who understand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the mission of their spiritual master are authorized to make such decisions. One must be sincere and one must be intelligent. And if one is sincere and understands the mission, then one will have intelligence. Because Krishna, Hesham Satata Yudhanam Bhachatam Priti Purvakam, Dadavi Buddhi Yogantam Inamam Upayogi. He gives intelligence from within the heart for those who are sincere and they try to execute his mission, and that's what we're all doing. Some say, you make many mistakes. You make too many mistakes. So what? We're moving forward. If you analyze how Prabhupada moved forward, you could also say he made mistakes. What happened in Jhansi? There are so many things that Prabhupada tried, and he tried after they didn't work. He kept went on trying. Because he understood the mission of the spiritual master, the goal. The goal is to hear the pure name of the holy name and distribute as many people as possible, and to do it in a palatable way. And organizing the Sangha. People have different detailed styles. Prabhupada mentions it in the Nectar of Devotion, that there are details. Some person may do it like this, some person may do it like that. So there's 3 minutes, literally now. An hour ago we said this, but now we're down to it. So we can take just 1 minute. Or 3 more, depending on how quick they go. But none of Susan is leaving, so I've lost my impetus.
Do you recommend a full morning program for traveling sankirtan?
Full morning program? How are you going to do a full morning program for traveling sankirtan? It's practically impossible. You should hear and chant 24 hours a day. That's the principle. Tanama Rupa Chaitanya Sankirtanam. When you're on traveling sankirtan, going from one concert to another, it depends. You have to do the best you can. The main thing is you have to be intelligent and learn how to adjust it so everyone is becoming enlivened in Krishna consciousness. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of all the principles he presented, then he said there's 5. Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, chanting the holy name, associate with the devotees, living the holy Dhamma. Then he said out of those 5, the holy name is all inclusive, everything important. There are many lists like that are truncated into smaller things. Why? Because in all circumstances, you can't do a full program. So you do that. You have to be intelligent and understand what is the main part of the program that sustains everybody on your party, and you go on doing that. That's why I gave the story about Prashad distribution. You want to do the full morning program, bring deities and do the full deity worship. Prabhupada didn't let traveling devotees and sannyasis have deities because he said, you don't have time, you got to preach. They couldn't do the full program. Thank you very much for staying and listening during this whole time. I offer my obeisances to all of you. Bhancha Bhavata Rishta Kripa Sindhave Vichapa Titanam Bhavani Go Vaishnavi Yoda Maha Go Premanande Hari Hari Go
Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman